This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, I'm so happy. The weekend is upon us. Life is good. We're going to have a good time tonight on the Jesse Kelly Show. And then we're off to go do... Well, I'm going to do kids sports all day tomorrow, but hopefully you're going to have fun. Here's what we have on tap tonight. What did the Senate do? Why'd they do it? We'll talk about that. These mayors, DAs, governors, how can they not be held accountable for releasing illegals? How is that humanly possible? Iran, the midterms. You have questions all over the place, and we will tackle these questions tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, let's begin here. The headline is, the Senate agrees to fund DHS, except for ICE and CBP, in a bid to end the extreme airport delays. To recap once again, sorry to repeat myself, but most people don't listen all 3 hours. There are several different funding bills that fund the government with different things in different bills. You know, one's going to be the military. The other one would be this. But there was one holdout that wasn't getting funded. Why do you have lines at the airport? Because DHS, ICE, Border Patrol, and TSA were all part of the same funding bill. You got me? All part of the same funding bill. So, because communists, Democrats, they don't want foreigners deported, their rabid demonic base demands wins when it comes to this. They have created 3-4 hour waits at the airport trying to cut funds from ICE, cut funds from DHS, essentially doing the terrorist thing. You can't have funds for anything if you continue to fund ICE. We will shut down one of the two major ways Americans get around if you continue to try to deport foreigners. That has been the Democrat position. You are obviously displeased with what the Senate did today. I have so many emails like this. Jesse, I am so beep, can't even use that word. Tell me it isn't so. Did these low-T pansies cave again? Do they know they just handed the House and Senate to the commies? Do they even care? I guess going home was more important. Not only did John Thune and the Senate GOP pass this gigantic steaming pile of crap. Don't worry, it's not law yet. I have good news on that. John Thune was then seen 5 minutes later heading through the airport, calling it a day. They did it. Sent it to the House of Representatives, where it's going to fail, I think. But sent it to the House of Representatives and said, you know what? I'm off. See ya. While Americans wait in line at the airport for 5 hours. Now, why would they do it? Well, a couple different reasons. The first is one we've laid out many times before on the show. I don't want to do another hour on it, so I'll do a minute on it. There are many Republicans in the United States Senate who are servants of the swamp. They want DC to remain corrupt. They will work hard to keep it corrupt because it keeps them in power. You serve the swamp. When it comes time for re-election, the swamp will serve you. The swamp will ensure you have endless campaign funds to spend and stay in the Senate. That's always part of it. Here's another part of it. Republicans are uncomfortable, very, very uncomfortable with loud noises. I've used this example before. I will use it again. Maybe you have experienced this in your personal life. Maybe you have seen it out and about. Maybe you've just seen it in the movies, but you do know it exists. You, your woman, your husband, you're sitting down tonight for a lovely dinner at Red Lobster. Maybe it's your anniversary. And all of a sudden, at the booth right next door, everyone's just trying to enjoy the shrimp scampi and Cheddar Bay biscuits. Some woman starts lighting into her husband, and she's getting loud and causing a scene. I saw the way you were looking at Tina. The whole restaurant's now looking. Everyone's getting uncomfortable. And what's he doing? Honey, just calm down. Honey, it's okay. Honey, I'm sorry. Hey, he's trying to calm her down like she's a wild horse he's trying to ride. It's okay. Shh, shh. You're causing a scene. Shh. What are they both doing? She knows what she's doing. She's doing it on purpose. She's using his discomfort as a weapon. She knows the elevated level of her voice, the accusations, everyone looking. She knows it is hurting him. It is making him so uncomfortable. He is uncomfortable. And in that moment, because he's squirming, everyone's looking, she's yelling, he will do and say almost anything to make it stop. Democrats are communists. Communists are terrorists. Democrats learned a long time ago that they can cause a mess. They can cause a stink. They can cause disruptions. They can destroy things. They can just take a battle axe to the children's birthday party. And in the end, if they yell loud enough in the restaurant, if they make enough of a scene, that Republican sitting there in the booth with them will eventually give in somehow, some way, because he just wants the noise to stop. Republican after Republican after Republican after Republican has made this mistake in my lifetime. They have convinced themselves that they're dealing with reasonable people, that this is a negotiation, that we all kind of want the same things, and I'll just give a little, and then they'll give a little, and that's how we have to govern. After all, making the sausage is ugly, did you see? They love telling you things like that, when the truth is Democrats are communists, and communists are terrorists. And everybody knows you can never, ever, 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 ever negotiate with terrorists because it only encourages the next round of terrorism if you do so. So when that group of jihadis hijacks your Delta flight and tells the federal government they demand $1 million in gold bars and a helicopter, the government cannot give it to them, even if it saves your life in that moment, because you know there'll be 10 flights the next day that are taken over by jihadis. This is how Democrats govern. It is how they have governed for at least the last 20 years of my lifetime. And the pathetic low-T GOP is still too weak to actually deal with them as they are. She's yelling. We're squirming. And it's pathetic. Tell her to shut her friggin' mouth. Or pay the bill and get up. And let her walk home. Do whatever. But don't you dare sit there and apologize and promise her a new bouquet of flowers because she's causing a scene. All that will do is guarantee the next time you go out to eat and she's got a problem with you, you're going to get the same friggin' noise every time. And what's wild? It's not like this is some kind of brilliant insight. Democrats will tell you all the time that that's how they operate. They'll be honest with you. Everybody goes on podcasts now. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry Democrat from the city councilman all the way up to United States senators, they'll go vomit out their true feelings on camera all the time now. They see these terror tactics as being effective. You know how they go out into the streets and cause a scene? Well, what they did in Minneapolis, in Minnesota, when Trump was deporting illegals from there. What did they do? They organized. They went out and caused a scene. Got a couple of their people killed, making a bunch of noise, street signs, ice out, and what happened in the end?
Well, Greg Bovino, he'll be moved out of the Minnesota area. He's going to retire now. We're going to move some things around, but we're uncomfortable with the imaging.
What lesson did the communists learn? They learned that making a stink, making a bunch of noise, works. And John Thune and the weapons-grade losers in the GOP Senate just taught them that same lesson again. If you're a Democrat and you have nothing moral against these kind of tactics, why would you stop every time you do it? You're taught that it works.
It's ridiculous. Let's move on. Let's talk about illegals, the midterms, all kinds of things. Before we do those things, let's talk about babies saving their lives. It's up to you and me. Legislation's not going to do this. You know that, right? Roe versus Wade got overturned. Abortions haven't gone down because evil still abounds. It abounds everywhere. We have to give these women ultrasounds. These young women have decided to have an abortion. She's on her way. The only thing we can do to save that baby and that young lady is introduce her to her baby. She doesn't know it's even a baby. She's young, scared. It's a clump of cells. A free ultrasound. She hears the heartbeat. She chooses life, and Preborn gives that to these women for free. You have to pay for it. Preborn will give it to them. $28 buys the ultrasound. You want to save a life tonight? Preborn.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing, amazing Friday. And as Dr. Jesse Friday, we have so much to chop away at. Here's something good. I mean, don't get me wrong. All these things that happen that are good, there's a part of them that's also terrible because you say to yourself, wait, what? What were we doing before? But, well, let me set it up. I'll let Stephen Miller set it up.
I think that most citizens probably assume that there's some verification process that takes place for the receipt of most federal benefits. The reality is that there is not. This is particularly true in blue states, willfully true in blue states, in which all of these programs are operated entirely on the honor system. No verification takes place before individuals are enrolled in or receive these benefits.
Democrats bring foreigners into the country by the million, remove all verification requirements, and quickly hook them up to your bank account. That's what they do. That's how evil the Democrat Party is now. That's the bad news. The good news is J.D. Vance has been put in charge of
this. A lot of the anti-fraud protections that existed in our government for a very long time were actually turned off by the Biden administration. So we think fraud has been a problem for a long time. It became a massive, massive problem under the Biden administration. We're going to do a number of things. First of all, we're going to turn back on those anti-fraud protections so that all of these cabinet officials are looking at what's going on and focusing on it. The second thing is that we're going to take a whole of government approach. So much of what's going to make the anti-fraud task force work is that we're communicating across different departments.
Let me play the first part of that again.
A lot of the anti-fraud protections that existed in our government for a very long time were actually turned off by the Biden administration. So
let's remember, I know you're upset about some things now, and that's fine, totally, totally valid. Let's remember where we were not that long ago. Joe Biden got installed as president. Joe Biden was a cadaver. So communists like Anita Dunn ran the United States of America for 4 years. Not only did they use your money to create an app for foreigners to schedule their invasion of the country, they then, on purpose, it's not like they tripped and hit the switch, they then, on purpose, turned off the fraud protections so the foreign barbarians they brought into your country could steal from you every single day while you struggled to make ends meet. Let's keep into perspective here our anger with this or that
under the Trump administration. Things are light years better now than they were. Put a smile on your face about that. Hey, Jesse. Actually, he says illustrious potentate. Hey, Chris, what's a potentate? What? Is that not a Jewish word? I thought it was. Can you look it up, Chris? Anyway, hoping you can help me understand why these communist DAs, mayors, and governors are not being held accountable in civil court when they release a convicted illegal alien felon back into free society. I do not understand how these people who have sworn an oath to uphold our laws and constitution get away with what they're doing. If they're not, okay, says I can use his name. His name is John. All right. So let's have a sober talk here. All right. This is the reality of it. What's my favorite historical quote? If you've listened for a while, you know it. If not, you don't. What's my favorite historical quote? Pompey Magnus was an incredible Roman general. Roman general, Roman politician. Pompey Magnus, people don't realize how incredible he was in Roman society because in his final years, he got his butt whipped by Julius Caesar. Not that that's some mark of shame, but Julius Caesar whipped him and they ended up getting stabbed to death on an Egyptian beach. And look, his end wasn't all that great. But Pompey Magnus was a big time dude in Roman society. Pompey Magnus has a quote that I have always loved. And the quote was, "Do not quote laws to men with swords." Do not quote laws to men with swords. We have a luxury, and you should feel blessed about this. We've had a luxury in this country. That luxury is we have lived in an ordered, lawful society, and the laws we have had in our society, the laws were created from biblical principles. Go read the Foundings. And then the people who were in charge of enforcing said laws shared those same principles for much of our history. And because the principles were correct, that led to the correct laws, and then the people enforcing the laws were correct, that led to a decent, good, ordered society where people overall, I know there have always been problems, always been criminals, overall, people were decent, society was decent, decent things happened. Bad people were punished. Good people were rewarded. However, because we've lived under that for so long, many of us have deceived ourselves into believing that the law itself, that it is the important thing. Well, you can't do this. It's the law. But the law says, I can read the law. That's against the law. You can't do this. But let me remind you, and I'll expand on this in a moment, do not quote laws to men with swords. Communists figured this out. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Do remember that we are live here, of course, and you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So question was about DAs and judges and how can it be legal? How can they do these things, turn these criminals loose, turn these illegals loose? Well, let's talk. One we've had many times, but let's touch it again. How does a communist see himself? Pause on that. The first communist revolution, it took place in Russia. Who were the communists, the Bolsheviks? Who were they? Well, Russia was ruled by a czar, king, basically. Everyone has to use a Russian word for it. Russia had a king, a monarch, a czar. And the royal family had ruled Russia for a very, very long time. People were dissatisfied for a variety of reasons with that after so much time. And along came these communists. They were a revolutionary group, a rebellious group.
They were a group of outsiders. They were people outside of power trying to take down the people who were in power and take over the country. Infiltrators, revolutionaries, rebels, however you want to describe it. That's how they saw themselves because that's what they were. If you want to take down a regime of any kind, a society of any kind, you have to take over the various institutions of power. You know that the communists, they would never have been able to take over Russia if they had just on day one, forget about judges here, this and that. On day one, let's just invade the palace of the Tsar and kill him. You know, if they'd have done that, the revolution would have failed. You realize that? Oh, sure, kill the Tsar. They'll all just arrest the communists and kill all them, and then they'll appoint a new Tsar, and your revolution failed. You do not take over a country and take down a country simply by taking down the king. That is not how that works at all. You have to work your way up through the various positions of power. Now, let's come back to America. I've described it this way. I think I'll always describe it this way because I'm in love with my own analogy. I'm really, really smart, Chris. But think about the United States of America in all of its various institutions as a gigantic skyscraper. When I talk about institutions, government, federal government, state government, local government, entertainment, whatever, sports, education, these are all various institutions. Now, the top floor, of course, we're talking the White House, of course. That would be the top floor, the seat of power, the White House, the Senate, the everything else. But a skyscraper isn't only the top floor. There are many different floors of power. There are local governments, like I said, state government, entertainment. If you want to rule the skyscraper, you can't just take an elevator up to the top floor and shoot the CEO in the face and sit down behind his desk. That revolution will fail. The cops will show up. They'll simply arrest you and you're done. That doesn't work that way. If you truly want to rule the skyscraper, if you want to take it over, you need every office on every floor. You must work your way through the institutions. Now, as far as an overall goal when it comes to things like crime and violence, why is it every day now? Every day we read a story. I mean, the story just came out. 83-year-old veteran gets tossed on the subway, murdered by an illegal. But that happens all the time. You probably don't even know which story I'm talking about. It happens all the time in the country. And it turns out, surprise, surprise, the guy kept getting let go. How many stories do you open up? Foreigners, Americans, arrested 30 times, rapist, murderer, goes out and kills again. Why does this happen? Because communists want violence in the streets. It disrupts a society. It breaks up a society. It makes a society soft and primed for a communist takeover. Communists want violence during the revolutionary phase. It is a benefit to them. Okay? Now, that's the overarching goal. But if you are Chuck Schumer, and that's what you want, you're Chuck Schumer, you're a communist, you want violence in the streets, that's your goal. Well, can Chuck Schumer make that happen? I realize Chuck Schumer is very powerful, probably the most powerful Democrat in Washington, D.C. now. He's the minority leader of the Senate, very, very powerful, but does Chuck Schumer have the power to take that dirtball foreigner and turn him loose so he can butcher a veteran? Chuck Schumer doesn't actually have that power. Oh, I know, he's up towards the top of that skyscraper. He's sitting in one of the high floors. He's got a corner office. But he doesn't have that power. If you're a communist revolutionary, you need lower levels of power too. In fact, those lower levels are critical for you. You could argue for the communist revolution, taking over the DAs, taking over the judges' seats in the country is more important than Chuck Schumer's seat way up there in the high rise in the corner office of the skyscraper. You have to take over every floor, not just the top floors. So when you open up your phone and you look at the news, and there's another story tomorrow, and there will be, and there's another story Monday, and there will be, about some guy who's been arrested 8,000 times who butchers a woman in the local park, and you sit back and you scream and you say things like, we can't live like this, we can't have a country, who's responsible for this? You're correct on all those things. But we also have to take a sober look at it and understand why that exists. That animal got let loose from prison because communists conquered the law schools. Communists become judges to let these people out. Communists, billionaire communists like George Soros, he's famous for this, they throw millions and millions and millions of dollars at these local DA races to elect the prosecutor they want. So they take over the judge's seat. They get the prosecutors in there they want, and they're teaching another generation of communists in law school as we speak. What you see in the paper about the woman butchered in the public park by somebody who should have been in prison is simply the end result of communists conquering more floors in the skyscraper, floors you never even cared about, floors you never even knew existed. That's what's happening, and that is our fight. And that is why, at least for the time being, I have encouraged you repeatedly. Two things. Get involved in local politics. That local judge's race. Who's the judge? That local judge's race? You don't really care about it? It's not sexy. It might be the difference between an animal going out on the streets or not. Get involved in your local politics. That's one. Two. If you are in an area controlled top to bottom by communists, California, New York, that kind of place, get to a red part of it if you can, a red county, a red city, so at least maybe you'll have some kind of firewall against it. If it's controlled at every level by communists, if you're listening to me right now on the great WOR in downtown Manhattan, whoo boy, you best keep your head down and your mouth shut. Because every level of government is against you as well. That's the reality of where we're at. All right, we'll move on. We'll do other things, midterm things. Somebody wants to ask about Iran, that kind of thing. Before we do that, let's do this. Let's get your cell phone switched up. Let's get you on the patriotic plan. You know what? I just came up with that. I think I like that. What, Chris? I want you to switch your cell phone plan to the patriotic plan. With Pure Talk. My company, Pure Talk, their CEO is a Vietnam veteran. Pure Talk is so patriotic, they hire American citizens. And you don't have to take my word on that either. If you simply dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly, you'll know you're speaking to an American because that's, what is that, English on the other end of the line? And then you find out that you don't have to get a new phone. You don't have to get a new phone number. That for $25 a month, you can get unlimited talk and text and plenty of data. How is that possible? Surely the service sucks. Nope, they're on the same towers as one of the big guys. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. Let's get off of all that ugliness and we'll talk about other ugliness. Jesse, why did our founding fathers split Congress into two groups, the Senate and the House of Representatives? Well, all right, so here's the deal. You know how often you hear the word democracy now? Word democracy, democracy, democracies that say democracy. You understand what's happening there, right? You understand the communists are trying to turn this country into a democracy. Do you understand the founders hated democracy? They thought it was an evil, sick form of government. What is a democracy to go, you know, government 101? Well, it's just straight up votes. Hey, I want the border to be closed with a high border wall. And the other side says, I want the border to be wide open. As many foreigners who want to come in here can. But
they get 51 votes and I only get 49 votes, whoop, borders open. That's straight up democracy. The founders did not want a democracy. They spoke out endlessly against a democracy. However, they also wanted this. They wanted individual regions of the country to have representation in Washington, D.C. That's the idea of the House of Representatives. Go read what Thomas Jefferson wrote about it. Jefferson loved the House of Representatives. It's supposed to take a specific region, and that region picks somebody, and that somebody marches off to Washington to represent the values of that region. That's the idea of the House of Representatives. But that can get dicey too, because the states, the individual states themselves, they have interests. Interests that may differ from that individual region. Great example. Today, California. Everyone knows California as this kooky communist hellhole, which of course it is a kooky communist hellhole. But go look at a congressional map of California. California has some very red areas. California has more Republicans in it than any state in the United States of America. Some of the most hardcore right-wingers I know are listening to the sound of my voice in California. So those people deserve representation. And if they're in a red district, they can get representation. But the state of California, their values are going to differ from the values of a specific red district in California. And so they're going to send two senators. Now, originally, back when the country functioned right, the state legislature, they would choose the United States senator. You realize that? So here in Texas, the state legislature, there'd be no statewide race with all this DC money and all this crap. No. The Texas state legislature, sent there by the people of Texas. Remember, I can talk to my state senator. I can talk to my state rep, and so can you. I bet you they're doing a public event this weekend in your area. Go talk to them. Well, those people we send there, they would choose the United States senator. Then this country lost its mind and passed something called the 17th Amendment. Now these are statewide elections, which end up becoming national elections with national money, all kinds of things involved in it, right? So back to what I was saying. The idea is, yes, both bodies provide a check on each other, the House of Representatives and the Senate. Remember that the founders, they didn't want a lot of laws passed. Because you can look at our system, okay, the House has to pass it, and then the Senate has to pass it, and then the President has to sign it into law. Jesse, that'd be so hard to get anything done. Exactly. It's supposed to be hard to get anything done. They didn't want a bunch of laws coming out of Washington, D.C. They were fine with your individual state passing laws. Hey, South Carolina wants to pass this. Knock yourself out. New York wants to pass that. Go ahead. Go ahead. They didn't want a lot of edicts coming out of Washington, D.C. because then the country gets all screwed up because Washington, D.C. can't pass a law that affects New York the same as South Carolina. They didn't want a bunch of laws passed. That's why I've cautioned you repeatedly against ever starting out with a sentence that says, we need a law. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some cases, like a voter ID thing, where, yes, we could use a law. There are many cases, most cases, where we don't need a federal law. Maybe your state can and should pass a law. But a federal law, probably not needed. Hey, look, the 17th Amendment passed. Now we have these senators.
So we're still going to have a big battle over ICE. I believe ICE should be defunded. I don't think that ICE is any longer capable of existing because it is so corrupt at its core.
Okay. United States Senator, ICE should be defunded. Let's go to the House of Representatives.
We will melt ICE, and I have a bill to do just that. We will dismantle the Department of Homeland Security because, frankly, at this juncture, nothing less is acceptable.
Oh, that sounds good. Let's go to another Democrat.
Because I believe that there ought to be a special commission if Democrats take over the House of Representatives or the Senate. There should be a special commission that investigates ICE's legal violations and human rights violations.
How about another Democrat?
We need real accountability because at the end of the day, the people that have been inflicting this harm need to be prosecuted. They need to be brought before us, and they need to be held account for the trauma that they have created, and we are going to have some form of reparation.
I played that not just to show the insanity of the Democrat Party. I'm going to have a question. I'm going to get to it in a moment. It's going to be about the midterms and Iran and all this other stuff. We'll touch on that as we've touched on it before. But I want to remind you what is at stake. What is at stake if the communists take over again? The biggest threat we have to the United States of America, to the future of this country, is right here at home. These people are monsters, and we can't let them back into power. We have another hour next.